Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mesta, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app. What a great show today, Corey. Lots of fun.
Lots of fun.
Captain Woolley in here talking fishing, talking Dana Wharf, man. The show's flying by.
Man, and Brian's come bearing gifts, man. We're giving away a couple half-day tickets to one lucky texter, a couple of half-day, a couple of three-quarter-day passes to a lucky caller, and then between all that, if that wasn't enough, we're going to flip a coin at the end of the show. We're giving away a $300 certificate to one of those lucky callers or texters with the coin flip decided by Brian Woolley. Cool. And it's a $300 certificate to Costa Sunglasses. You could choose your pair of glasses, add a hat, a shirt, whatever you can, all at $300.
So rad. Now, right. you are most commonly running half-day run on the Sun Fund. What's the three-quarter-day run? Who's driving? What boat is that most commonly on? As we said, obviously it does switch based on charters and things.
Right.
But
I've been actually running quite a bit of three-quarter-day.
Okay.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah, right? Sure.
So,
again, that's what we said. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. Typically right now, like the real fun is running a lot of our open party half day stuff. Excuse me. And they're fishing just local bass, right? It's kind of their bread and butter. It's close. It's easy. It's a cool platform. It's low to the water.
Totally.
It's old school legendary wood boat, right? So they're doing a lot of that. And then, mix of three-quarter day stuff, a lot of the charters and whatnot. But just classic three-quarter day on the coast.
Love it. Awesome.
So, I like it, too.
Yeah, some great fishing going on. And speaking of great fishing going on, we're going to find out what's with the catch report, Corey.
Yeah, we are. And it's sponsored by Summit Gasoline. Get the lowest gas price possible for your car, truck, or your trailer boat only at Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. They have everything from, I don't know how they do this, man. Discounted bait certificates? Like, are you kidding me? And it's so awesome, Rick. They're right in between whether you're heading to Shelter Island Launch Ramp or you're heading to Dana right there on Mission Bay. It's right in the middle of both. It's not out of your way. It's easy to get in and out of with your with your boat and trailer, and it's definitely the lowest price in town. It's Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Make sure you step in and say hello to Martha and the crew. It's super cool. They got everything you need for your day on the water, ice. Purchase 35 gallons of ice. Get your 100 pounds of free ice.
Yeah, 35 gallons of fuel, 100 pounds of ice for free.
Kidding?
So rad. Yeah, those guys are awesome. Very, very fun.
We got Mark on hold. And Mark, and how you doing?
What's up, Mark?
Fish report.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Ricky and Corey and Brian. Great report here.
Good morning.
So, guess what? Another good week of really good fishing, especially for those guys willing to brave some tougher conditions and do the distance if you're heading offshore there. But on the outside, we had a nice little weather window there for a few days. San Nicolas and Santa Barbara did not disappoint. There was some really stellar sea bass fishing there at both islands, including some really big ones. Along with the sea bass, there's a nice sprinkle of some good grade halibut and some really nice yellows in there also. So it was pretty good fishing. Probably a little choppy right now, though, so we might have to let it mellow out a little bit, but I'm sure we'll get back on the program there. Catalina, still good summertime fishing, bass, bonita, barracudas. And then guys, there's still a little bit of sea bass around. So if you want to target one of those, I'd probably go make a little bait in that area between the V's and Salta Verde like that. And then I'd take that bait and I'd run down toward the east end, set up for daylight, you know, maybe underneath the light there or Seal Rocks or towards church like that. And there's been a little bit of sea bass still poking around in there, some good ones. And you want to catch the yellowtail, I'll probably slow troll a big mackerel up and down the front side over the structure spots. There's some nice, great yellows. You know, Catalina's looking good. There's it's not wide open by any means, but it's pretty good fishing. At Clemente, been a pretty darn good week over there. A lot of yellows on the front side middle mostly, but scattered all up and down there. And they're biting sardines, which makes it easier. And, of course, they love their mackerels. And guys like to throw a surface iron, definitely want to do that. And on the beach, you know, overall a little lackluster. We had that big south swell kind of wash things out a little bit. But, you know, we got some good news. Conditions are straightening out up on the horseshoe there. Water's cleaning and warming. And we had some barracuda biting on a horseshoe again yesterday afternoon. That's really good news for the local guys. And you also maybe want to check that mussel farm. It's the time of year, especially with this cleaner, warmer water. Definitely the time of year for some of that yellow to show up. Maybe they'll get with that program. And then offshore, oh, my God, there is so much to choose from. And here's some late-breaking news. You know, Danny from Fish Dope just called. This forum went on the air here, and he's listening to the radio. There's one guy sitting on right on top of 209. He's got a kelp loaded with yellowtail. Another guy sitting on the 267. He's got a kelp loaded with Dorado. And even if they're not biting all that much right now, you know, those things get really weird when they first move into the area. But just the fact all that fish is pushing into the area, it's been a little slow getting started. So that's really good news. And then for the guys that opted to do the distance working out to the outside, that 499 snail, 711 outside zone like that, tonnage of tuna, tonnage. Now, they don't always bite all that well, for sure. But like my friends on the Fandango, they ran out there yesterday afternoon, had three good ones trolling the plucks around. I think the big one was 130. Thanks, Dan, for that report. Appreciate it. And, you know, from that area there all the way down east of Clemente, there's been a little bit of fish down around that 43 corner zone. Been some tuna fish in there without much pressure on it. And then from there on down, that's where it really gets into that really good kelp patty fishing. I mean, it's like an aquarium down there with the yellows, the Dorado, and great big bonitas, and now kind of a resurgence of school-sized bluefin with more and more yellowfin moving in. It's just fishbowl fishing down there right now, and just looks so good here for the rest of summer and our fall fishing. Guys, I got to tell you, it's time to go fishing. Without a doubt, time to go fishing.
No doubt, Mark. That is a fantastic report. Boy, like you said, you said it best, up and down the beach, inshore and offshore, that tuna fish, it's just crazy how good of volume it is, and for the guys that are high-speed trolling and able to get on it, spectacular. Still a little slow for the fleet. Some great scores happened this week, and it was really nice to see that really start to rebound. Not fully as white-hot as it had been, but with the volume around, you sure feel like that switch is going to turn, and that's going to be happening both for the sport boat fleet as good as that private boat fleet that you've been talking about there.
Yeah, it's staggering right now, the reports coming from all up and down the beach. You know, there's guys getting them up in central, in the bluefin. They're getting that stuff up there in central California now and all the way down to well down into Baja. I have no idea where that lower edge is. But, you know, collectively, that's an awful lot of tuna fish.
No doubt, buddy.
It bodes well. And here is the big news of the week.
Let's hear it.
It's only sort of got something to do with fishing. As soon as I hang up this phone, I'm getting in my car, I'm going down to Kaiser, I'm getting the stitches out of my wrist. I had carpal tunnel surgery, and it's been cramping my style here for a little bit. So as soon as we get squared away, I'll be able to go out and catch some of them damn fish.
Glad to hear it, Mark.
Glad to hear it.
Awesome. Well, a great report, as always. If somebody wants to find you, Pacific Edge, get the best bait tank in the business and all the great info you can provide for all of us. How do we find you, Mark?
Oh, Ricky, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on a corner. Yeah, here's your favorite part, Corey. On the corner of the big Chevron station.
Yeah, right.
And, integer.
I can only imagine the price of that gas at that Chevron right there, Mark.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, it's dirt cheap now. He came down 30 cents. It's only $6.28 now.
Wow. Wow.
Deal at twice the price.
I think it might be a dollar less here at some gas.
Yeah. But it's really nice to see those prices coming down. I mean, that was just horribly painful, you know, for showing up your cars and trucks and boats and stuff with it up the way it was. So hopefully we stay on this trend and it gets back somewhat more reasonable for everybody.
Well, you talk about fishing on the 499, man. That's far from no matter where you are. And let me tell you, from Mission Bay, it feels like another lifetime away. When you're also having to drive around at 13 knots to get a bite with a lure, man, let me tell you, you burn some fuel getting out there.
Yeah, you really do. But, man, I got to tell you, and you know, that stuff, there's like an edge, an inside edge to it. It's not very far inside that 499. One of my customers was in the other day. He was nibbling how he went out there. He had all the right stuff, and he stopped 4 miles short.
Ooh.
inside the bank and trolled around all day, didn't see much, caught nothing. And the guy is just a little bit outside of them, had, you know, fish everywhere and much more shark. You know, and not everybody catches every day, I got to tell you that for sure. But, man, you got to do the distance, guys. Don't stop short.
Just go.
Man, right?
Just go.
And if your information, Mark, isn't enough, but having fishdope.com definitely probably would have helped him out, too.
No doubt about it. You'll save $20 off that new membership with the code HOOKUP now, all lowercase, no space, saves you $20. Mark, as always, great job. Sure appreciate you keeping us up to date, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, you got it, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate
Man,
that.
Right, all the way from Bolsa Chica and Edger and Huntington Beach, all the way down to Quivira Basin and Mission Bay. We've got Marcos at Seaford Sport Fishing. Good morning, Marcos.
What's up, Marcos?
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today?
Very well.
Doing great. Good morning.
Sounds very similar to what the fishing is doing this week. Very good fishing all throughout the week here, kind of expanding on what we talked about last week. Those happy trips, so great calico bass fishing on there, some sand bass showing up in the mix this week, a little bit of bottom fishing there. You can see where they had a halibut, a yellowtail throughout the week, so about what you expect for summertime fishing on those half-day trips. Twilight, also very good calico bass fishing, nice mix of rock fishing there also. The offshore trips, the full days, the day and a half, all those guys, a great mix of fish on those trips. You're seeing bluefin, yellowfin, dorado, yellowtail. I think we saw, Daniel saw a couple of bonito throughout the week here. So overall, good fishing. Talking to Mikey on the San Diego this morning, he said that those yellowtail, they're good. They're a 12-pound average, so it's a little bit bigger than we're seeing earlier in the season. They're slowly creeping up there, and he said it's really good fishing. They're seeing some signs of bluefin, but it's a little scattered right now. Some of the boats are getting them, not everyone. And again, you know, yellowfin, dorado, I mean, what more could you want from a full day or one day there? Longer trips there, the Asta came back from a four-day. They had almost 300 yellowtail on there, 16 dorado, a couple yellowfin, some bluefin in the mix there. So about what you expect from summertime fishing in San Diego. So definitely check the website, seafortlanding.com. Have a full schedule up there for those half days and twilights, the full days on the San Diego and the Sea-Watch, overnight trips, a day and a half, longer trips there. You can make reservations straight online there. You can always give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person. And one important note, all of these fish, every single one of them, from bluefin to sand bass, being caught on MC Slim Baits.
Oh, right.
We have those
in
the tackle shops. So,
100%.
Yeah.
That's a good.
Every single one.
Everyone.
Checks in the mail.
Thank you.
Great job, Marcos.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, yeah, like I said, make your reservations. It's starting to get busy again there, people on vacation. So don't wait till the last second to make those reservations on any of those trips and get out there and get fishing.
Yeah. And plenty of free parking,
yeah,
too. I like
yeah.
it.
Great, yeah. great yeah. as always, Marcos. Appreciate you keeping us up to date, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you then, guys.
All right. Thanks,
all
Marcos.
Right, all right. That's a good one for sure. And the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fishman's Processing in San Diego, the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, long range, local, or your private boat. Plus, with Fish Pros Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerked fish. Gosh, man, all their spices and rubs and their smoked cheese, which is awesome. Got to try the smoked Gouda. It's absolutely incredible. They have tuna burgers, their poke kit, even their ceviche kit. Stop by their Old Town location on Taylor Street or call for details. And you can order online, too, at fishermansprocessing.com. And don't forget to check out their new Instagram page, which is The Real Fisherman's Processing.
That's it, man. Good info and a great spot. Well, the phones are absolutely packed up, Corey. Everyone wants to talk to Willie. Let's jump back into him.
How about Kevin? Kevin calling from Pacific Beach. Good morning, Kevin. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, this is for Captain Willie. I fished up there a few times, but I know everything's bluefin, yellowtail, and dorado right now. But my bucket list has always been to get white sea bass. They're so elusive. I try down here in San Diego, but I always see on Facebook how well you guys do up there. And if I was to plan a trip, what time of year would you plan on going? Is it still not over? Or if I was to look to the future of next year to be ready to go, what months would you recommend? And which boat would you want me to go on, a three-quarter day or a full day?
Got it. So, that's a good question. Typically, like mid-June through like mid-July is like when we typically see that stuff pretty traditionally, both on our half-day and our three-quarter-day stuff. This year, for some reason, a majority of that fish was caught on our three-quarter-day trips, like kind of first thing in the morning. We get set up down there within like the first 2 hours if we were going to get a bite on that stuff. It was down there. As far as any particular boat, I don't really think it matters. I would tell you maybe, you know, if your schedule allows you, midweek certainly would be a better call. Lighter loads on the boat would give you a chance to, you know, have a shot, you know, towards fishing the stern of the boat with less people, kind of a deal. But yeah, that time of the year, mid June to the first part of July, and you know, this year there was days where, you know, had a couple fish. The fish ranged anywhere from like 30 to over 50 pounds.
Jeez.
But you know, we caught it, like I said, though, on our 3/4 day stuff, but we caught some stuff on our half days too. It's just that fish was kind of stretched out from down below there off San Onofre down to, you know, the barn kelp, yellowtail kelp, but we were catching fish on just stock spots up above. I think a lot of it had to do with the amount of bait that was moving around. There was a lot of anchovy and sardine that was in on the beach, and I think that fish was, you know, certainly in that bait as it moved up and down the beach.
Are they being caught by a guy fishing a bigger bait trying to hook a sea bass? Is it just straight random that fish bites a shove or trying to catch a calico? Like, what do you often see when you're catching a little bit of it?
It's so bizarre. Most of the time it's been guys fishing dropper loop with the sardine.
Really?
That's
okay.
How it's been. And it's been on like our rental tackle.
Sure.
You know, the guys that just soak a bait.
Sure.
Right? Incredible, huh?
Not that they're, you know, doing anything wrong, right? They're soaking baits. But we've had some guys that come out, hey, I want to catch sea bass, and they do. They just soak their bait.
It's so cool that we have the opportunity to do that because,
totally.
Brian, I mean, we're all around the same age, right? And in our youth, it was a big deal, man, when a half day or a coastal sea bass was caught, right?
Period.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Couple of season type deal, right?
Right.
And now it's like, you know, we aren't specifically targeting them, and I don't want to call them bycatch. Certainly there's an opportunity to catch those things on every trip that we run. But it seemed like those mornings on the 3/4 day, from mid-June to mid-July was when we had that better shot at that
So
fish.
Cool. Yeah. Just nice to have the opportunity, really.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for the phone call. Great text came through. This one, Brian, can you talk about the Halibut Derby at Dana Wharf? We have the Halibut Derby every year. We participate in the Halibut Derby year. What's the difference between the halibut fishing during the fall and winter compared to right now? That's from Mike in Laguna Niguel.
Got it. That's a good question, Mike. Typically, that fish we see better in you know, as we're rolling out of the winter into the spring. That's kind of why we have our derby set up that time of the year. We do catch them arbitrarily as we're, you know, sitting on the outer edge of the kelp on our half days and 3/4 day stuff. Again, guys soaking baits down near the bottom. But we were looking for something to, you know, kind of entice some passengers to come fish, and we figured, like, getting people out that time of the year. Sometimes it's routinely a little bit slower time of the year as you're kind of rolling out of the winter into the spring. But traditionally, it's been a good time for us on that halibut. We had a little bit tougher derby this year, for sure. That fish just, it wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fish moves around. You know,
people,
it's not always,
realize how much halibut move around.
They move, like, around a lot.
They migrate large distances. I know they've tagged them at, like, Catalina, and they've been caught at Santa Cruz, like, within a few days.
Crazy.
Yeah, like, they really, really move.
They do move around a lot, for sure. And, you know, just one of these, this year was just an off year. Is it going to be good next year? Who knows? But we're planning on, you know, we're going to have our derby. We have killer sponsors that take care of our participants and monthly winners that win killer tackle packs and, you know, cap prize for the first, you know, top 3 spots, 5 spots, I think it is.
It's become such a fun tradition that you guys do at Dana Wharf. It's a really cool thing to kind of get the season kicked off, and it gives you something different to focus on and kind of fish for, and you adjust your rig a little bit. And, I mean, like you said, this year was a little slower, but, man, year after year after year, you guys kick out some really nice halibut.
We've had some nice ones. You fish over 30 pounds, you fish in 40 pounds.
Yeah.
But there's 2 ways you can get in. Obviously, we have our drift specific trips, but then we always tell people just buy a ticket.
You can go on any trip.
On any trip, any half day or 3/4 day open party trip. A guy that won it this year bought a ticket, and we were 3/4 day fishing rockfish. And caught the winning fish when we were drifting rockfish.
Cool.
That's so rad.
So you never know.
Super cool.
Yeah, I dig it. Very cool. Well, hey, speaking of very cool, you guys have a big event that you always participate in every year with the CCA chapter up in Orange County, and it's happening again this year.
It is. Yeah, we got a cool golf tournament. Thanks for that. It's Friday, August 5th. The Orange County chapter of CCA has been working diligently behind the scenes putting this together. It's a cool event. So it's our second annual golf tournament. American Business Bank is our title sponsor. Again, it's Friday, August 5th. starts at 8 a.m., and that's at Costa Mesa Country Club up there in Costa Mesa. It's a golf. We've got different ways you can get in there. There's foursomes available. I believe there's still a few of those. It's $800 if you want to get in on a foursome there. They are taking now some single players, too. That's $200 a person. And then we've got hole sponsors on each hole. 18
holes,
cool. Some killer sponsors, like a local Ford dealership. Dana Wharf's got one. Costa Sunglasses has one. Yamaha, all the tackle manufacturers, Shimano, Daiwa, Accurate. Fisherman's Landing Tackle has a hole that they've sponsored. Cutwater. So some killer fishing-related sponsors. And then some of the holes also have individual games, like, you know, a hole-in-one, a chance to win a Ford vehicle. Hobie has a hole-in-one to win a kayak. Daiwa's got some casting stuff. So it's a super cool event. It's kind of like the who's who in the fishing industry. We had some good industry guys in their foursomes last year. It's just a cool hangout, a lot of effort, but then all the proceeds go to CCA, so it's a good deal.
Last year, it was a major success. Super, super fun day, and you by no means need to be a golfer. You know, it's a best ball scenario, so if one guy on your team can hit even halfway well between the three of you, you know,
you have a chance.
Exactly, yeah. And it's who cares, you know, because it's such a rad day. It's all the bunch of buds from the industry. It's a bunch of buds that love fishing, and your money goes to a great cause. And like you say, there's a fun kind of wrap up afterwards. You right. know, just it's just a great, great event.
It is cool. You know, they've got a great sponsors for some the food at the end of the banquet by Fishbones Grill, followed by the awards and tons of raffle stuff. So just a typical classic golf tournament run by CCA Orange County chapter, and some great prizes and good people, and just a good way to spend a Friday morning.
CCA website if a guy wants to get tickets or join up.
Totally,
or is there
yeah.
a specific?
So you go to ccacalifornia.org, click on the events, roll down to the golf tournament. You can book your foursome there. And then
if you
do want to do the twosome, you can reach out directly to Chris. Send him an email, and he'll get you set up with a couple other guys looking to.
Those guys work so hard.
They do, yeah. It's
Chris,
cool.
I mean,
totally.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, man.
And like you say, I mean, the beauty of that thing is you're spending a few bucks, you're having a great time and a great day, but all of your money goes to preserving our ability to fish. And those guys, like you say, tireless, whether it be carb issues, whether it be fisheries issues, whether it be whatever it is, those guys got our back. And funding is everything when it comes to that. And the more money we raise, just the better we are. As a whole. So a great time and a cool event and a very fun thing to throw
Absolutely.
A couple bucks at, for sure.
Yeah, we're looking at a couple more spots open. I mean, there's still availability, but it'll sell out.
August 5th.
August 5th. Friday, August 5th, Costa Mesa Country Club.
Cool.
All good for that?
Yeah, I dig it. Well, let's jump back into the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Sean? Sean Cole from Lomita. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to ask you a question, Brian. I have a son I took fishing last year for the first time, and on his first time on the boat, he said, "Dad, once you've been out on the boat, your life has changed forever." I'm curious about the fish camp. Is it overnight? For how many days? What's the cost on it? Because I live up here in, Lomita, which is also about where Bill Poole was from, so I always like to point that one out. Getting up and back and forth, is it, all day? Is it overnight? How are the fish camps for youth, and what age groups?
Got it. So it's let's see, our age groups are like 9 to 14, I think, is the gamut that we run there. It's a 4-day fish camp. It's just during the day. It runs from 9 a.m. to about 3:30 in the afternoon. We do have lots of people from out of town. We have people from out of state that come and do it. They'll get a hotel. The family will stay in the hotel, drop the kid off in the morning.
How neat is that, man?
And it's a great time, but it does sell out fast. We typically have 3 sessions of that camp during the summertime, and it runs from like mid-June. We'll have 1 or 2, and then through July we'll have 1 or 2 as well. But it's a great opportunity for the kids to kind of come out. They meet other kids that have similar interests. They make friends. We have kids that come out on just regular open party trips that met their fishing buddy on one of the half-day or, one of those camps. It's just a cool opportunity for these kids to learn some stuff, to make some friends. We've got great sponsors, cool prizes for the kids and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like a longer half-day trip, but it gives us opportunity. We've done everything from kelp bass fishing to rockfish to fishing kelps for yellowtail and dorado. We've had big sea bass, big halibut. Some of these kids can fly out fish. And we have, returning kids, like alumni that have been through the camp various stages, and it's been cool to kind of see their progression as they they go through the ranks over the years. So, yeah, certainly call the office. As far as the cost, I don't have that off the top of my head. I think it's somewhere like $595 or something like that, just under $600 for the 4 days. But it's worth every penny, and those kids come off the boat dialed, and it's just a good foundation for them.
It's so cool, Brian, that, I mean, the Hansen family from Dawn, you know, with the landing, it's so family-run and family-oriented. It's really, really cool.
And Donna, same, tireless. Yeah. I mean, she's a tyrant when it comes to making sure that everybody is taken care of. Like, yeah, that's a, again, we said it at the beginning. It's just a rad organization. You guys just, everything is done so right there. Whether it's the guys behind the counter, whether it's the great, you know, captains and crews, the boats are always top-notch. Just like everything you guys do is right.
I mean, we're picky on who we hire. We're picky who we, you know, use on our boats, and, you know, we're grateful for it. But, yeah, we love having those kids on the boat and watching them figure it out. And, you know, it's the next generation. Yeah. Spending that time with those kids, you know, it's something that they'll have for their lifetime. We recognize that, and we're stoked to be part of it.
That's awesome. Cool. I dig it. Well, hey, a great text came through. This one was from Kurt in Moval. Said, good morning, guys. I fished with Brian many times, and he's a great boat captain. I love the fish reports every week. It's my favorite part of the catch report when Brian does his. But one boat that I never hear get mentioned enough is the Helena. I love those guys. Give us an update on what's going on with the Helena.
Awesome. So Calvin Cooper is the owner of the Helena. He's had the boat for, gosh, it's got to be close to 12 years now, 10, 12 years. His business is primarily all charter business. He's got a great group of clientele that he does, and he does all kinds of creative stuff too. Like if there's sea bass that's biting, he'll put some, you know, sea bass trips on the boats for late afternoon into the evenings. He'll do his classic charters, half day and three quarter day stuff. He doesn't do much twilight fishing, the Helena is a small 48-foot wood boat. It's no generator, so it's nice and quiet.
Yeah.
We've had some opportunities, some sea bass with that. He'll fish offshore. If there's fish to catch out there, he's all over the place, but he's busy, and he runs a great operation.
Wahoo to sea bass.
Totally.
Sounds like a perfect boat to sneak in tight a cat.
Yeah. He gets into some of those shallow spots as well with the boat. It's a fishy little boat. It's been around for a long time out of our landing. Rick Dosberg, who owned the Fury, also owned that Helena, and he sold it to Calvin, and Calvin's had it since, and it's a cool platform.
That's right. Sure. Right on. Yeah. Appreciate it very much, and thanks for the text.
I know. Some good stuff for sure. We're going to be coming back with more good stuff from Brian Woolley at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing when we return on the Let's Talk Cook Up after Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer Resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
The perfect day is my family and I on the boat out on the waterway. I love it. Nothing but sun, snacks, fishing, and of course, life jackets for everyone. Save the ones you love. Life jackets save lives. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having so much fun with Brian Woolley from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing in studio, and lines are full. But
it's super full, right, man. It's been a busy show.
It's probably the $300 certificate. Actually, it's Brian Woolley from Dana Wharf and talking all the good stuff. But somebody's going to win that $300 certificate to Costa and a couple of half-day passes. Thank you, Brian, to the Texters. One lucky one there, and then a couple three-quarter-day passes to a caller, which is really cool.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We're having a great time. As you said, Corey, phones are packed up. Let's just jump right into them and see who's up next. Let's go, Corey.
How about Rich? Rich and Camarillo. Good morning, Rich.
What's up, Rich?
Morning, guys. We've got a couple of questions for Captain Brian. One is, what is your go-to halibut rig? And also, last time I was down in the Dana Wharf or Dana Point, we got some bait, and the guy at the bait receiver threw in a couple of mackerel in the water, and these huge fish just rolled up on them. Are those juveniles, white or black sea bass?
Wow.
It's a bait receiver, huh? I know there's lots of sea lions there.
I was going to say, it sounds like a fur barrel.
Small sea lion. You know, there are some guys that have caught some bigger black sea bass there in the harbor. Could have been, for sure. Those things are, you know, you got to remember, before the harbor was built, that shoreline, you know, what used to live there and what still does live around that habitat. It's just, it's a big opening, and it's a small harbor, so that stuff's in and out. So it could have been a bigger black, for sure. We've seen plenty of guys catch those in the harbor. Yeah, no doubt. As far as, like, the go-to halibut rig, I mean, I think just the classic reverse dropper loop, you know, is what most of our guys fish. Bigger baits, they're going to incorporate a stinger hook, whether it's a treble hook or, a bigger J hook down towards the tail of the bait so they can get a bait in the nose and down by the tail. Fishing line size, we got guys fishing anything from, 50 down to 20, thinking that, it makes a difference on getting bites and whatnot. But that reverse dropper loop, contact with the bottom is important. And then, depending on your preference as far as how long you want the trail coming out of the bottom of that dropper loop knot, guys will fish them short sometimes, so it's right on the bottom. Other guys will fish them, 2-3 feet long, so that baits up off the bottom. And we've seen success both ways across the board, but certainly that reverse dropper loop, I think, is the way to go. And we get guys to get those ones, those pre-tied rigs, leave those in your tackle box, man. Those things have so many connections, and we've seen so many of those things blow up with bigger fish. It's just not worth it. So tie the knot yourself. If you need help with the knot, the guys on the boat will help you. But you want to know that what you have tied up is, you can count on it. It's your fault if something goes wrong. Right. You can't blame the pack pre-deal. So, yeah, reverse dropper loop.
Are you a trailer hook guy?
Yes and no. If we have that bigger sardine or if we're fishing smaller mackerel, yeah for sure. Sometimes before those trips, we'll go out and we'll jiggle up some mackerel and get them in the bait if it's not already in the bait. But yes and no. I think some guys are hardcore believers in it. Mm-hmm. I think that halibut's going to inhale whatever bait it's going to eat anyways. You're going to get a good hook in it either way.
So. I agree with you on that one. I mean, if you look at the mouth and the gullet of just a legal halibut, I mean, that's really an 8-inch bait. Like,
no problem.
In there. No problem.
Last week, you were talking about fishing halibut in the surf and using your full slot, your full size slug. I mean, that's how big a bait? That's a 7-inch?
Well, it's not the 8-inch. It's the 7-inch.
7-inch.
Yeah, and it's more of like a Sharpie. If you can imagine the thickness of a Sharpie, like an inch longer. But it's a perfect size for a grunion. Mm. And most times, if a bass or a halibut or any predatory type fish has any clue how to eat, they're going right for the head. Mm-hmm. Like, it's from the head, the scales and the fins all go down the gullet smoothly. They didn't get to that size by eating from the back end. So it's if the hook's in the front, I'm good.
And when you say reverse dropper loop, that means sinkers on the top or sinkers on the bottom?
Sinkers on the top, right? So you've got your loop. You put your sinker on the loop because, remember, the strength in that line, obviously, is through the barrel of that knot. Sinker goes on the loop. Just loop it on. You don't need to tie the sinker on there. I think that just makes things wonky, especially if conditions are changing. You need to swap out a sinker while you're drifting. And then just that long leader tied to the hook.
I like it.
Yeah, great. Great question.
Good one for sure.
Appreciate the phone call very much. Hey, a good text came through. This one was said, hey, I'm sitting here in Monarch Bay parking lot, and I'm looking at what I'm pretty sure I believe is the Clemente fishing off Salt Creek Beach, and I'm really enjoying the show with Captain Woolley. I've noticed that the kelp has been gone in some of my areas. Do you believe this has anything to do with the starfish die-off? No starfish to eat the urchin, which in turn eat the kelps. in years past, the kelp has been so thick, I always love tossing the live anchovy fishing for kelp bass. What do you think is the main attributor to the lack of kelp?
That's a real good question. I think maybe there is some truth to that for sure. I think a lot of it has to do with, gosh, we get this wind out of the west in the wintertime, right? And it's just relentless. I think that, you know, is it those kelp spores move around? They don't have a chance to kind of settle to the bottom. We certainly have had cold enough water over the past couple winters to, you know, for that stuff to grow. But I think when it starts to grow, you know, we get some wind and stuff gets torn out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's just the end of it. I think water exchange is a big deal, too. You know, if you drew a straight line from Dana Point proper down to San Mateo Point, you know, it's a pretty good bite into the beach. And a lot of that prevailing current pushes outside of that bite. So some of that water exchange, which I think is important to get in some of that kelp spore in on some of that reefy hard bottom, you know, isn't always as good as it could be, say, compared to places where there's a lot of upwelling, like at La Jolla or some of those areas where you have that deep water canyon that feeds in and really nutrient-rich water that keeps that kelp alive down there. Some of those things are certainly a factor as well. But, yeah, I don't know. We've seen it areas that are typically super persistent kelp areas with no growth for years, like San Onofre, for example, right below the power plant.
Okay.
Big area of hard bottom where it's just traditionally massive kelp. You won't find a stringer of kelp on that hard bottom.
Isn't that
right
crazy?
It's just not there.
I think, in my mind, I think a lot of it had to do with that 5 years of El Nino. You know, I mean, totally. We had a few years where there were wahoo right here, right? And so at that time, that warm water was really deep. Like, it went super deep. Right. And I think it really degraded the health. I think it may have impeded growth. And like you're describing, it kept the spores and kept that stuff from happening. But if the kelp was there with this cooler water we've had for a couple of years, I think it would have grown. It would have grown.
Right.
But it's not so much.
Something's different, right?
Hey,
it's just not
in
there.
Cycles. Everything happens in cycles. And when we do see the healthy kelp growth come back, we're going to say, hey, you know, it's back. I know locally there's kelp growing in places where I haven't seen it grow in 10 years.
Totally. Yep.
But where it should be thicker, I see it probably half of what it should be, but it's still there and it's still healthy.
Right.
Yeah. The one thing that's wild about kelp, too, is when it does get rooted and it is healthy, like, it is amazing how fast it can flourish also. Like, you know, you'll have those areas where it has disappeared and we don't see it, and you get one good season with optimal condition, and it is wild how fast it can fill back in just as fast.
Hey, we all know the kelp fishing is my my love and passion, the cathedral in my church, right? So it actually grows 24 inches a day, up to 24
crazy.
Inches a day.
Wow, right. Sit and watch it grow.
Right? So when it, you know, I think of 30 feet, 60 feet of water, you know, you could have decent kelp growth. We could be looking at the same area next year, Brian, and be talking about healthy kelp growth.
It's all about condition.
It's all cycle.
That's cool. Well, hey, another great text came through. This one from Mario in Pasadena. Like the Christmas tree color is to Cedros. Can you guys give me, both Corey and Brian, your favorite color of plastic to fish in the Dana Wharf area?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of just the classic bayfish colors, like your grunion color.
Yeah,
the blue grunion. And then I like to fish them with the chartreuse yellow leadhead. I just think it's a good color. Sometimes, like I was saying, that stretch of beach from Dana Point to San Mateo, the current, you know, the water exchange isn't always this, so sometimes it's a little cloudy and murky. I think that brighter color head gives it a little bit of a, you know, an advantage over, say, just a plain, you know, gray-colored leadhead or something, even a red. I think that chartreuse yellow fishes. But that Viejos bait and those natural baitfish colors are my confidence.
That's your number one.
A definite one that gets bit. That chartreuse yellow head with that blue brunion clear color. I don't know why. It's the silliest looking. It looks like somebody's coming from Arkansas and trying to rig up the fish. But, man, it gets bit. And it just does.
I know I've heard you mention that a lot of time, too, that you're – You don't care what color leadhead it has.
I really don't.
With the exception of that one.
That one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
really.
You mentioned that a bunch of times also.
It's such a clown-looking lure, right? I mean, it's just doesn't look right, but it gets bit.
Especially that blue grunion you're talking about. That's such a good bait fishy look. Like it's a lot of clear and blue and pearlescent, and it looks so natural. But a chartreuse leadhead, almost the opposite of that. But, man, it, you know, like
that combo.
Yeah, totally.
Whether it's a lead-headed slug or a lead-headed swim bait, that combo, like,
it works good. I think another thing, too, is, you know, you got to have confidence in what you're throwing, right? And we see a lot of guys that are like, oh, I made four casts and I didn't get a bite, and they go to the tackle box and they change it. It's like, dude, you got to make 15 or 20 long casts. Make sure you've, you know, fished the top, you've mid-water, and you roll that thing across the bottom before you change your colors. And you'll start to see, you know, guys will figure out the patterns, right? Mm-hmm. Slow rolled out on the bottom, I got bit, you know. Don't be the guy that's in and out of the tackle box.
That's true, too.
Just stick with the color, fish it hard. You don't get bit out of 50 casts. Okay, go switch it. Change the body or change the head size or something, but don't go to the tackle box every five casts.
Yeah, out of the lack of confidence. Right. I have a funny one. I remember seeing a post a handful of times out of a young kid fishing up out of Dana Wharf. This last post was probably like 3 weeks ago, but he had like six times he posted up a picture of an A-rig with like three bass hanging off it, you know, and just, I was thinking about you, Brian.
Awesome.
And, yeah, chumming that chovy and throwing that A-rig.
We get some kids that love those things.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's a great air, and that fish is up in that chum. We catch a lot of fish on those things.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's rad. That sounds fun. Totally. What about you, Corey? What's your favorite color for in there?
Yeah, you know, like Brian said, that blue grinding color or an orange belt. Bellied brown bait. There's one that the boys call Old Faithful, and it's just it's that like an olive green back, clear with red, black, and gold flake with an orange belly.
I love it.
Confidence, right? Old Faithful.
Yeah, exactly.
It's bit. So.
Yeah.
I dig it. That's cool. Well, let's jump back into the phones. They're packed up.
How about Roland? Roland calling from Fletcher Hills. Good morning, Roland.
Hey, Roland.
Hey, good morning, guys. Corey, Rick, Brian. Hey, Brian. I'm introducing another granddaughter to the ocean fishing. I'm planning on a half-day trip here this week coming up. What do you suggest, morning or twilight?
I would try and fish in the morning if you can do it. Nothing against the twilight. I just think, you know, coming out in the morning, you just have the clean slate to start the morning off. You can get on it before maybe there's, you know, a little breeze or something that picks up in the evenings. You know, we see that quite a bit as, you know, it starts to get dark and the sun starts to set, conditions to change a little bit. I think your best bet would be in the morning. Get her out there fresh and start her day for sure. Go with the morning trip.
All right, Roland, appreciate the phone call very much. And why don't we jump right back into him, Corey?
Let's do it. How about Rich? Rich calling from Marietta. Good morning, Rich.
What's up, Rich?
Appreciate you joining us.
Oh. Looks like we might have lost Rich there. Well, we had another text come through. This one for Brian said, with the Dana Harbor remodeling, do you foresee any changes to the operation, good, bad, or indifferent? And that was from Jumbo Jack in Ontario.
Jumbo Jack. I don't think it's going to change anything. It might change. Certainly the look of the harbor is going to change. Some things are going to look a little bit different. But from our day-to-day operations, it's not going to affect anything. For us, it's not going to affect the big company.
You have your own set of parking, really.
Right. We have our free parking. There will be some upgrades, I think, in the parking. I think there's a parking structure or something's going to go in that might make the ease of parking. Just it'll change it. Not going to make it any easier or harder. I don't expect anything different. And I haven't heard anything different that's going to be, to the contrary. So
I think on the fishing end, if you're a private boater and trying to launch there, that's where the headache and the huge issues have changed. But it's not on your sport fishing end where you
for us out of our landing and our fleet and our docks. I mean, you know, there might be some upgrades on some of our docks and some changes in there, but it's not going to affect our day-to-day by any means.
It's all good stuff.
Cool. All right, let's jump back to the phones, Corey.
How about Jim? Jim from National City. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys, another great show. I got a couple of things there. I fished up at Dana years ago. I think the boat was the office. It was a charter thing. But, it was an excellent operation. We didn't have a great day of fishing, but, you know, the landing, everything was real professional, and I really liked it. Of course, it's a little bit of a trip for me, but I did enjoy that experience up there that one time I went up there, and friends of mine tell me that it's an excellent place to fish out of. I wanted to give a report on the CCA event I went to yesterday on the San Diego. Arnie hooked me up on that deal. I had been talking to Arnie about Cowboy. You know, we all know he's in the hospital. But anyway, in talking to Arnie, he told me, I was going to have this CCA event. So I jumped aboard. And, on the San Diego, what a great operation. We all know that. But we caught over 50 yellowtail. And, some of that yellowtail, I think they have my picture on Facebook for the Seaforth. And the fish I caught was a nice fish, you know, 12, 15 pounds. But there was a 26 pounder caught by a girl who is an officer, and I do not recall her name, but she's an officer in the CCA organization. 23 pounds, and several of those bigger yellowtail, you know, 12, 15, like that. So there are some nice fish, and of course, Matt always. He's able to put you on the fish there. So
Matt,
anyway,
that's a really good captain, isn't he, Jim?
Oh my gosh, that guy is—he's excellent, man. And you know, I watch him. My mobility isn't real great, so I can't get up in the wheelhouse and talk to him. But I sit back there and watch him, and he's got the two guys up in the crow's nest with binoculars on. He's driving. He's got binoculars on, and you know, I mean. Just hour after hour after hour. It's not like just he looks for 5 minutes. Man, those guys are on it, man. And you know how those small yellowtail are. They can get – what's that?
Yep. Yeah, no, they definitely know what they're doing.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, yeah. Glad you had such a good trip, Jim, and a lot of fun for that CCA event as well. And nice job, and congratulations on the big yellow, man. Glad you had a good trip. Hey, I had another great text come through. This one is, good morning, guys. Question for Brian. When you get an opportunity to fish for yourself and you're going as an angler, I'm so curious, do you prefer fishing Catalina or Clemente and why? That's from Matt in Apple Valley.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I prefer Clemente for sure. You know, bread and butter for us is kelp bass fishing, and I'm all about bass fishing. But, gosh, the diversity certainly that you have over there at Clemente, you know, great yellowtail fishing, that sea bass. I'll fish with Marcus on the Fury, you know, just a random day off, hop on the boat and go over there. And I'm going to pick Clemente probably every single time,
right?
You know, unless there's something amazing going on at Catalina.
There's fewer just, private boaters. There's just less
the extra
boats.
Distance makes all the difference, and, you know, the island's different.
Yeah.
You know, the way that island's set up is totally different.
That said, that's sure no taking away from Catalina. Such good fishing, great opportunity, and a really big one at Catalina.
I think Catalina over the last 10 years has changed. Like, prior to that, there was a lot of small bass, and it was a fun fishery, but there was a lot of sublegal, just legal bass, like 12 to 13 inch. But in the last 10 years, there's a lot of 5 to 8 pound fish there. Like, it's. Don't you agree? I mean,
yes, certainly Catalina gets more pressure, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Close for us, for Newport, for L.A. Long Beach. Like, it just
gets hit.
The boat traffic and the private boat traffic, where Clemente's just an extra poke, you know, just an extra, you know.
And, boy, so. if you're a bass guy like I know you are, and you hit Clemente when it's right and the conditions are good and those fish are biting, like, man, it is it's like nowhere else.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a three-pounder factory.
Right. And then yellows mixed through the kelp and the sea bass, and just life.
And it's just kind of rough, and there's boilers, and it's just you gotta know your way around. There's some bad neighborhood there in terms of structure. It's just cool. There's a cool factor of Clemente.
It's the only place where almost every time, Brian, when I had the boat over there, I've caught a calico like 6-7 pounds with lobster antennas sticking out of the mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Like one of the only places. Like, you literally, you'll see a lobster go kicking on the surface, and you're like, man, what the heck was after
that? I was chasing that.
Yeah, right?
That's a rough.
I love
there's
it.
There's some rough neighborhood in there.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, let's jump back into the phones, Corey.
All right. How about Doug, our good friend from Montebello? Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah, I was wondering about a spinning reel. What size should I get for, like, the half day or three-quarter day?
You know, we have guys fishing all kinds of different size spinning reels. They're going with their light line on, like, those, 1,500 to 2,000 size reels on up to some of their bigger stuff for that heavier line. But on a half day, you can get by with anywhere from 15 to 25-pound line. So, you know, find a reel size accordingly. We have lots of guys that will fish that spinning tackle. It allows them to make that cast with that smaller anchovy just fine. They can switch it out and fish a fluke or a rubber lure of some sort as well. But, you know, for that kelp bass fishing we're doing, again, we don't have a whole lot of kelp on our zone right now because it's just not there. So having that super heavy line isn't as necessary right now, the way we're currently fishing, so yeah, you can get away with the smaller size reel with the lighter line.
Sure, nice to have that, you know, that lighter gear. Fits your hand better, easy, comfortable, good to fish with. And like, there's so much power on those little reels these days. I mean, you can
pull hard.
You can catch just about anything you need to then.
And using Power Pro and braid, you could actually get it done.
Right.
Yeah. Good question, Doug. Appreciate it very much. How about we try to sneak in one more, Corey?
How about Mo?
All right.
Mo from Vista?
Looks like we just ran out of time there, so yeah. We are going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup, including finding out who we're giving away all those great prizes to. More Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Dana Landing in Mission Bay is the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. This is Mia. Come see me and our expert staff for everything you need for your next fishing trip, food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop is certainly one of San Diego's finest. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna and people that can help you get set up right. We also have Dougie, one of the best reel repair guys around. Need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle, the best rods and reels, the hottest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has an amazing staff who love to share their passion for fishing. We now also have Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, both fresh and saltwater tackle, right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 Freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle take 94 to Broadway and Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is right next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps gift swimming its additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer. The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. Need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label leader material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tinsel strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound test for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound test for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Let's Talk Hookup, man. We've had such a fun show. 2 half-day passes going to a lucky texter. That's Mario in Pasadena. And one lucky caller getting 2 3-quarter-day passes. That's Kevin of the Pacific Beach.
All right.
And the coin flip.
Cool. Do us the honor. See who's getting their coasters.
Is going to caller.
All right.
Callers, that's Kevin of Pacific Beach getting a $300 certificate to Costa. Man.
Awesome.
So cool.
Wooly, great job as always. So appreciate you taking the time. Come hanging with us, talking fishing with us. If somebody wants to go fishing with you, all the great boats up at Dana Wharf, how do we do it?
Awesome. Just call our landing. Our phone number there, 949-496-5794. Of course, danawharf.com. You can book online or link us there right through the Let's Talk Hookup page. I'll take you right over to our site.
Awesome.
Super simple.
Great job as always, buddy. Appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking to you on the report next week. And we appreciate you. Another great show coming for you tomorrow morning. Michael Sweet, the Federation of Fly Fishers. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.